Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Jenna Dorn. Jenna is the administrator of the Federal Transit Administration in the U.S. Department of Transportation. And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel.
Jenna, security is critical to most organizations, in fact, all organizations in the government right now, but probably none more than the modals within the Department of Transportation. Can you tell us about the post 9/11 security initiative and what FTA is doing in regards to that initiative?
Sure. It's such an important question, Dave. Really, transit systems are safer and more secure now than they have ever been. However, it's important to note that just by the very design of our transit systems, they're designed to be open and accessible. That, in effect, makes them vulnerable, as well as the history around the world where transit systems have been the targets of terrorist attack. I'm really pleased to say and proud to say, however, that with the full and aggressive cooperation of our transit partners throughout the country, as well as with FTA and a strong emphasis, as you know, under Secretary Mineta's leadership, we've made some really important progress. Let me just give kind of the highlight of what we've learned in terms of the most important investments that can be made at the federal government and at the state and local governments. What we've learned is you get the most bang for the buck in the transit environment in terms of security by investing in three things: training of personnel, emergency response, and public awareness. And in all of those things, we have been very active. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to tell you about some of the things we did initially after 9/11. We did, we put together a team of experts, transit experts, terrorism experts, intelligence experts, that went out to 37 of our top transit agencies, the subway systems, the light rail systems, and those that had high consequence, high assets in the community. And we did a very thorough, not a cookie cutter, but a very thorough assessment about vulnerabilities and threats. And we learned a great deal about that we were able to transmit to transit agencies across the country, and each of those agencies learned a lot as well. We are now sending up in follow-up teams to perfect some of the plans and the emergency response things that need to be done in each of those areas. In addition to the training piece that I mentioned, where we have increased the kind of training that is offered for first level supervisors, what we want to make sure is that not only is the public aware that there is heightened sensitivity on the part of the operators and the bus drivers, but that they are trained well to know what to look for, to what to do, and it's those first line supervisors that really can play an important role, whether it's a bus system or a subway or light rail. The emergency response plan, nothing more important than that. And as I noted very dutifully in just a few short weeks after the terrorist attack, when I went to New York and had a briefing from the transit and the police and the fire, and what officials, they said literally tens of thousands of lives were saved as a result of that collaboration across not just the transit folks, not just the emergency and the fire and the police, all working together. They had an emergency operations center. They talked to each other. They were aware of what was important to do. They trusted each other. And all of that is very important. We have established through 17 regional forums throughout the country that kind of learning experience with two-day seminars, bringing all of these folks together to try to finely tune those emergency response plans. And that's been a very important effort as well.
Now, as the Transportation Security Administration increases their focus on surface transport, where they've mainly focused in the past year or so on air transport. What will be the nature of the relationship between FTA and TSA?
Well, I am very committed and encouraged by the fact that we already have a very good and strong working relationship with our colleagues at TSA, and I am confident that that will continue. We have, in effect, an agreement, a memorandum of understanding understanding, both in spirit and in kind, about who does what and how we do it together. The real benefit of TSA being a part of Homeland Security is not only the intelligence sharing, but also being able to prioritize resources not only across transportation sectors, but across all sectors. For me in the FTA, I may say, oh, well, we need capital equipment to make sure that we protect against this or that, but I don't have the 30 or 50,000 foot level about what are the threats in this environment versus the port security or versus the banking industry. So that piece will just be very important, but I remain very confident that that working relationship will continue and be better, in fact, because of the affiliation of TSA in a broader Homeland Security Department.
How is technology changing the way FTA does business?
Well, in terms of FTA, Paul, I think that a very substantive kind of contribution that technology has made is in the arena of electronic government. We have, or eGov, I guess as it's called, our grantees use a web-based grant application and approval system that's really one of the best in governments. In fact, each of the last two weeks, we've gotten an award from outside not-for-profits who said we have a very good system. That lets us transfer the funds as quickly as possible once a completed grant application has been received. And as you can imagine, with more than $7 billion every year in grant funds going out to communities, that kind of more responsive time frame and grant application review and allows us to make sure that the money goes to the right place in a timely fashion. In terms of technology being used by real people, in terms of the riders, that technology has been so important in terms of encouraging ridership. Many of you may have seen the next bus technology or the next train coming technology that allows you as someone who's riding, or me as someone who's riding, to note when that bus actually will be there. It makes you feel better, makes you feel more confident, allows you to schedule things that encourage ridership. So there are many areas of technology that over the past even 5 or 6 years have made a big difference in our ability to provide public transportation in a seamless way and in a way that really matters to local communities.
What are some of the next challenges on the horizon for your agency?
Well, certainly reauthorization of the Surface Transportation Bill is absolutely top on our list. That's a very important sort of effort. We want to continue the very good foundation that has been established through T21.
What about transit issues in general? I mean, what are the next big things that are going to arise as far as issues in transit?
Well, I think the whole competition for funds, transit has become trendy in a very good way, I think. People are recognizing in many places we can't build more roads. We can't extend more. We have to maintain the system, and in some places with roads, our expansions are obviously very important. But because of that, there is more and more demand on public transportation infrastructure. Fortunately, the investments that the federal government have provided to date have virtually been keeping up with the maintenance and the demand. But we see down the road that there are more and more communities that want to make major capital investments. So that's a very important piece of what we see in the future. In addition, I think the whole issue of focusing attention directly on our customers, the right public, that's a terribly important issue, not yet talked enough about, but we're trying to remedy that.
Can you give us your highlights of your vision for the agency over the next 5 to 10 years, taking into account some of the factors that we've talked about during the conversation this morning?
Well, perhaps to summarize it, I would hope that public transportation in America's future would be the mode of choice. And I don't mean by that every person would choose transit, but every person would have an opportunity to choose transit if in their community, if that's what worked for them. So that would be one piece of it. I guess from a more parochial perspective as the administrator of FTA, I would hope that FTA would be recognized as the best resource and the source of expertise to help ensure that America continues to make very sound investments in public transportation.
You've had a long career in public service, so I'm curious, what advice would you give to a person interested in starting a career in the public sector?
Well, first, I would tell them that there's no better career than in public service. It's just a wonderful opportunity. I feel privileged to serve in this department under this secretary and this president, and it's a career you can't beat. So I would tell people, young people that, or even mid-career people, I would tell that. I also think it's important to be open to opportunities and to learn as much as you can by every experience, because every experience will be valuable to the next one. And I guess the third thing I would say is that the more you can hone your skills in listening, writing, communication, analysis, it will stand you in good stead no matter what sector or no matter what agency you served in.
Jenna, we're out of time. Dave and I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed it, Dave and Paul. And I would call attention to your listeners that we have a website, www.fta.dot.gov. Thanks so much.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Jenna Dorn, Administrator for the Federal Transit Administration in the U.S. Department of Transportation. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.